Welcome to Luke's Lost Podcast, a fan podcast devoted to the hit TV show Lost, presented by Luke Brown. This podcast may contain spoilers.
This episode is solely based around the interview by Ryan from the transmission with Jorge Garcia and Daniel Day Kim, the actors of Hurley and Jin. Here that interview is.
Aloha from Honolulu, everyone. It's a beautiful September day here in Honolulu, the kind of perfect day where you really wonder how it could possibly get any better, but it does. I'm actually fortunate enough to be here with two of the coolest dudes around, stars of the awesomest TV show ever, Lost. Daniel Day Kim is here, and Jorge Garcia. Guys, thanks for taking the time to chat with me.
Sure, my pleasure.
Now, you know that Lost fans have been basically been cowering in a corner and waiting for the show to come back, but you've had a brief break. I did want to start off by asking what basically you guys did with your time off.
Well, Daniel and I spent a lot of time in Monte Carlo and London together, actually.
Yeah, Jorge and I were best friends this summer. We took trips. It's kind of like Frog and Toad.
We did some promotion for the show there. Mm-hmm. And I did a movie in Vancouver called Deck the Halls, which should come out around Christmas time. Mm.
I ended up doing a lot of traveling. I ended up going, in the course of 2 months, I went from Hawaii to L.A. to Utah, where I spent some time at Sundance, and then went to New York, Boston, Philadelphia, and then over to Europe for a little while. And, so it was a pretty busy summer.
Yeah, you made the most of it.
Yeah.
And you were also at the San Diego Comic Con.
Oh right!
All right,
we were.
Was
that
your? That was together too.
That was your first one for both of you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How was that?
It was fun. It's a very fun zoo to be a part of.
Yeah, I have to say I was a little overwhelmed by it all because I thought that we could actually walk around a little bit and take in some of the sights and check it out because I'm a fan of comic books, but. It was too much. It was a zoo. So we ended up doing our thing, and we ended up just taking off. Now, you said you were going to go back.
I did. I went back the next day in disguise.
Oh, really?
How'd that work?
I went through the whole... I went through the floor, which was pretty cool.
No one bothered you? No one knew?
I got... there's two people who saw my name tag and spotted me that way. One was at a booth... And really, I ended up getting a free T-shirt out of it, so it was fun. And the other one was just a guy in the crowd. And after that guy, I decided to switch name tags with a buddy of mine. And because no one would probably read his name tag because he wasn't in a costume of any kind. So I just kind of became him for the rest of the day.
I'm curious, how does Jorge travel in disguise? Or you can't say, or else people will figure.
Well,
it out.
I had a mask and a hood.
It had to be.
It was very specifically decided to be enough to completely cover my identity, but not so much that people would want to take pictures with me. As you know, because there's a lot of people who go really all out there and constantly posing for pictures throughout the day, and I didn't want to be that because I already get that. So I wanted something that was somewhere between full coverage yet still a little halfway.
Right.
And I saw you on the Emmys with Conan. You made it to the Emmys one way or another.
Yeah.
Thankfully, one of us did.
Right.
Yeah, it was cool. They called, and I was like, sure. I mean, I'm a big fan of Conan, so it was fun kind of, because I did his show back in May, so it's kind of cool to have him come to see where I do my show.
Right. So he came out here for that.
The Jungle Stuff was shot out here.
Awesome.
And just kind of learning this is man, you guys got to run through this all the time.
17 takes. Well, now you're back here in Hawaii and you're making the magic again. Everybody's waiting for season 3 to begin October 4th, but you guys are well into it now. About how many episodes in is work?
We're working on the 4th episode of the season now. And I think we're doing a pod of 6, so... we're almost through that first stretch.
Yeah, you're more than halfway through, actually, the first part.
Yeah, we're going to be working through that whole hiatus, but as far as what's going to air, it's going to be the big blank there.
Was it good to be back? Is it like, you know, getting back into the groove, or is it always kind of new, or, you know, rediscovering something from the beginning?
Mix of both. It's kind of like coming back to school in a way, like in the fall, and just getting back to, all right, let's get back to focus and stuff. But well, like for me, like this is the longest acting job I've ever had, so it's kind of, I have a certain confidence. I was like, well, Hurley goes like this, so that doesn't
right,
you know,
right.
that there's a certain confidence in that. But there's always like new people and people who didn't come back and stuff, and it's kind of, that's kind of a reminder
yeah.
there.
For me, it was a little jarring coming back because I didn't have that much to do when I first got back here, and so. And then I went to, I don't know if this is a spoiler or not, but then I went into my flashback episode. So it went from, you know, famine to feast. And it took me a little while to kind of get back into shooting shape.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was tricky.
Yeah, that's like 14-hour days when it's you, when you're the character.
Yeah, stamina-wise and just getting back into speaking Korean again. So it was a bit of a challenge, but it was good. Now I feel like I'm back on the show.
Yeah, I've kind of started a little slow this season. So it's kind of been like I've had a lot of one-day work weeks, things like that. So it's been kind of, I've been easing in pretty smoothly.
All right, well, you know it's inevitable that I have to ask you. Now you're filming season 3. What can you tell us? What's going to happen?
There's a lot of action. There's a lot of action. And so far to me, the episodes seem a little bit more self-contained than they have in the past. I don't know. Would you agree with that, Jorge? That you could watch one, and it almost has a sense of a beginning and an end as opposed to just...
A piece of the story. That's
interesting. Yeah, which is interesting. There is that, of course, overarching kind of storyline.
And there'll be a chunk specifically for the six weeks.
Yeah. Can we talk about...
And we know there's going to be a Jin story, at least, I mean, for sure, coming up in the first six.
Yeah. Can we talk about what the first three are?
What? What do you mean?
Whose flashbacks the first ones are?
Like who the people are?
Yeah. Can we talk about that?
I think there's enough evidence. Well, I think... Actually, Ryan let out that there's going to be a Jack flashback because he had an off-island scene that I think was...
Yeah.
Which is a scene that takes place in the playground.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Okay. Well, I'll let you off the hook because I know that this is all... This is exactly what I'm supposed to ask, but this is exactly what you can't answer.
There's a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
A lot. Get to see where their whole hub is, basically.
Yeah, I mean, so
that was pretty impressive. There's a couple like big oh my gosh moments I thought in that first episode.
That's true.
Well, that's got to be the one to hook you all over again. I definitely can't wait for that. So we've heard that the creators have said that season 3 is largely like the season of the others, and also that whereas season 2 was very deep but did not progress. As far, season 3 would be more characters, romance, sex, relationships,
right.
And stuff like that. You got that sense too?
I haven't gotten the sex yet.
In time, early.
We'll see.
Well, I mean,
we're almost there last year.
Right, exactly. I was about to say, oh great, so season 3 is
bad luck.
Right, season 3 is the romance one, but you just...
I just sit on the sidelines. I don't know. We're only 4 episodes in. We'll
That's
going to
be one heck of a rebound relationship.
No, we have, 24 episodes, and we're only 4 in, so there's a long way to go.
But for romance, you have your wife, though, so...
Yeah, you know, with any luck, depending on how their relationship goes.
There's so much focus on all of the love triangles among the singles, but it's good that there's...
Yeah, there's a lot of focus on who do you choose, on the big one.
Right.
There's a lot of that going on.
Well, let me ask you about your characters. Jin, when we first met you, you were, you know, kind of an unlikable character. You'd spoken about being worried about typecasting and wanting people to be patient and see how it all fleshed out. So first we saw that Jin, then we saw the kinder, gentler Jin. We've seen the kick-butt, kick-ass Jin. You know, the show often puts us in the position of thinking about good people or bad people, light and dark. What do you like for Jin? Where do you think he would go, or where would you want him to go?
Well, I think, I think it's when it's too easy to classify someone as a good guy and a bad guy, then it becomes less interesting for me as an actor to play. I like the fact that Jin has so many contradictions because a lot of the times I can't figure it out. And so as an actor, it makes it easier to play just moment to moment. And who knows how Jin is going to change in the future. All I know is his history and what makes him tick now. So I've given up. You know, it's not really helpful as an actor to judge your character anyway. Mm-hmm. So he's definitely a man with some issues and some conflicts. And whether he's a good bad guy or a bad good guy, I'll leave it up to the audience to decide. You know, but I have to say, like, I had some really great scenes to be able to play. And you know, they say drama is conflict, and there's definitely a lot of conflict in Jin.
Oh. And how about you, Hurley, or Jorge? I'm looking at you, and I just think of Hurley. You know, when you started, you were the jolly fellow, the friendly fellow. Also, probably concerns about typecast. There was a lot of emphasis on the weight and the food issues, being comic relief more than anything. But in season two, we saw a great evolution. Really excellent. I enjoyed it a lot, where in addition to some very sweet romantic scenes, unfortunately, but fortunately for fans of your acting, got to see the more serious and the more tragic side of her.
Yeah.
How do you like how your characters have evolved? And again, where do you think?
I thought Kate went through a lot. I like, you know, that's part of what I enjoyed about doing the whole thing of season two. And like, you know, when they're, it's, you know, there's certain feedback you can kind of give the writing staff in a sense by doing a script that they give you well or something might inspire them to write more towards those colors or those sides. But it's a lot of tragedy to get hit with at, you know, at the end of season two. So I'm just curious as to how I think I haven't fully gotten the picture as to how it really may have changed now. With all that hitting him.
Right, I mean, I'm really curious if we'll see a different, you know, a darker, angrier side, maybe. Because, but you definitely brought tears to our eyes when you lost your love there.
Yeah, that was a great line. The whole, sorry, I forgot the line, because it's such a great way to do it without putting it in the lines, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see, we already talked about the six pods, the six episode pod, the two pods, the six episodes we're doing, but you're not gonna, that break doesn't translate for you guys. You guys are going to just be working straight through.
Yeah, same thing. It was always like during season two when there'd be a hiatus week, they'd think that we were just hanging out, having a vacation somewhere. I'm like, no, we're working straight through because, I mean, we struggled to finish the show by, early mid-May, at least shooting-wise, to get it by, like, you know, the finale date. I mean, there's so much that, especially in last year when we had all that rain.
Yeah,
it totally threw off the schedule and just kind of just.
The last few
weeks.
It's
a race against time sometimes.
And especially the last few weeks, it's always a mad scramble. You know, we never know what episode we're shooting, what locations we're on, and you know, we have like three units going at any given time. Mm,
three,
yeah.
So no rest for the wicked. And actually, to me, I'm really concerned because you have the second pod is 17 or something straight episodes right up to
the end. Well, I mean, I think the audience should be happy because I think a lot of the criticism last year was that they didn't know when the show was new and when it was a repeat. So, you know,
we end at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I think we catch up with each other. But.
Yeah, but I think it's a good thing. You know, if you're an avid fan of the show, you'll know. That if we're on, we're new, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
We'll see.
Yeah,
yeah, that's too much stuff. Give us a break. Give us a clip show. We need to catch up and just kind of chill out and just deal with what we just learned.
Let's dance with the stars.
There you go. I'd like to see that.
See what happens.
There's always that after Lost. All right. Now I'm going to get a little prying. Some things about Lost can't be kept secret because casting people talk. And last season we knew about Michelle Rodriguez coming aboard before we met Michelle Rodriguez's character. And this year now we know that Elizabeth Mitchell, a Juliet character, have you worked with her yet?
No, I have not worked with any of the new characters.
I haven't worked with her yet. I've met her outside of work, but I haven't worked with her yet.
Jen really wants to know, like, is Danielle coming back? You know, Desmond was on the island before, but he's now a regular part of the cast. You know, Danielle, we were a big fan of Mira Furlan. Do you know if we'll see her again?
Haven't seen her yet.
I don't know. But without knowing for certain, she seems to be pretty tied in to the...
But I'm pretty sure she'll resurface.
Yeah.
Well, actually, let me ask that meta question, you know. Lost has such a huge following that it's hard for things to be kept secret sometimes, and whether it's because the press release has to go out with the names of the actors in it, or someone's walking down the street like me having lunch in Chinatown and sees Michelle Rodriguez in a cop uniform, spoilers are a big trade out there. How do you feel about them, for one thing? I mean, do they upset you guys?
Well, as long as it's not coming from me, we yeah. have a problem with it.
It doesn't bother me.
But what does Carlton Cuse throw his coffee mug against the wall?
No, I don't know. I think they go to certain lengths to make sure that certain parts of the show stay very secret, and I think they should. You know, especially now with the internet, you know, everyone has access to information almost instantaneously, and you know, for the sake of drama, I think it's better if certain things are left to come out when they're intended to.
I think there's enough of the audience that just enjoys watching Lost without delving too hard into what's going on in the internet
mm-hmm.
and what's going on in all the other areas that it's still a surprise for them. I mean, because like I'd have friends who'd call me about, you know, reveals that would happen on the show, but these are reveals that like people on the internet have already been suspicious about anyway, so it's just kind of coming true for them, but people were still shocked, because like people had suspicions that Libby was perhaps a mental patient already, and she was lying about the psychology stuff. And so, but there's still people who are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it.
Actually, I would say probably the bulk, the easy bulk of your fans are in that boat. You know, they're watching you when it comes on, enjoying it as it's
yeah,
presented.
So I think it'll be enough of a surprise to those people. I think the only people who get bothered by spoilers are the people who would actually spoil, the people who didn't want to know about
right.
something.
Right.
Well, that's the thing, too. Like, I think because there are so many spoilers out there, for not just for our show, but for television and film in general now, that people now actively defend themselves against the spoilers and say, I will not go to this website because I
right.
know they print spoilers there. So
yeah.
I want to know when it comes out.
Yeah,
or there's great wrong spoilers.
Oh, that's true, too.
The foilers.
And I enjoy those. Like, when you hear, like it would be like, oh, who's going to die? It'd be like Charlie and Terry. At one point, everyone was going to die
mm-hmm.
somewhere on a spoiler in the finale of season two. So it was like, okay, there's enough red herrings out
exactly.
there. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Do you ever consider, you know, generating your own foilers just to make things
well work? I did a little one early on when there was a theory out there that said that they thought Hurley was on the island ahead of time before the crash, and so I then went online and I said, you know what, he's not in any of the airplane sequences from the interior of the plane. Because I didn't shoot
sure.
any of those, so I put that in there.
That got
just
them all
kinda,
excited.
Kind of get that ball rolling a little further.
Well, we're going to have to watch out for that. Then.
Did you sign it, Jorge Garcia? The real Hurley, I mean it.
I forgot what I was called on that site. I think that was the early ABC site.
I gotcha.
It might have been the real Hurley. I think I did that at one point.
Well, speaking of those sites, and again, the show's massive following of the characters or actors on the show, you guys actually, you know, venture into these waters, these sometimes frightening, churning waters of fan interaction.
I think we're the only two, right, Roy?
Ah, the sound of true refreshing water.
yeah, we venture
Terry,
in.
Terry pops in sometimes, too, I think.
Oh, right. Jorge goes in a lot.
I don't know. That's, you know, that's my culture, I think. You know, getting obsessed about TV shows and toys and comic books and games and all that stuff. And so I'm happy to go there. I'm like, these are my people. I'm going there to, you know, say hi.
I like the idea that you can interact with the people who appreciate the show and what you do. And I think that's a cool way of just saying thanks, you know.
Yeah, Thierry had the best quote that I ever heard where he said, it makes you feel good sometimes when all you gotta do is show up and you make someone's day.
Hmm.
I mean, how can you not appreciate that?
That's cool. Are there any favorite corners or things? The fuselage is one I know I've seen the two of you post. Anything else that you consume, even? Do you listen to Lost podcasts? And
you're plugging yourself, aren't
no,
you?
I don't
right, right here, you're plugging.
Yeah, I subscribe to the podcasting network of Lost, and it always has like it always seems to be like a new show I hadn't seen yet popping up on that now. Because I had my own, my small few that I listened to. Then I went away from it for a little while. But it seems to have grown and has a lot more shows getting included in it. So every now and then I pop it on. I like to... I don't listen to... See, in LA, I listen to all this morning radio and talk radio and stuff like that. And I don't do that very much here anymore. So a lot of times I just put podcasts on in the car when I'm driving into work. And it's kind of my drive time to listen to stuff. And it's good because it makes it easier. It puts a lot of what the internet is saying in a small, encapsulated thing that I can listen to while I drive. So I can just kind of get a beat on what the crowd is thinking or saying without having to do all the grunt work of, you know, checking all the forums and stuff. Right.
Do you do anything online apart from the Fuselage?
I do. I'm a computer, self-confessed computer geek. And, you know, the Transmission was actually one of the first podcasts I ever listened to. And I think actually after I heard it, I told Jorge about it.
And, yeah, he introduced me to podcasts to begin with.
Yeah, because I think it's a great thing because, first of all, there are no commercial interruptions. Second of all, it's, you know, only things...
Well, there are now. Some have commercials.
Oh, do they really?
Something like, this podcast was sponsored by... Oh, there was like that, the action figure one.
Right, right.
We're doing a lot. In
Bummer. But I also like the fact that it's just about a topic that you want to listen to and talk about. So, but yeah, I listened to your podcast pretty regularly.
I think it shows passion because, you know, essentially, you know, the people are, it takes a lot to do something for free that takes this much time.
That's absolutely right.
And, you know, it's this much involvement where they set up voicemail and email and all that stuff. And
that's the power of Citizen Me, you know. Anybody can publish and get out there.
Yeah.
Are you doing anything like that? Are you blogging?
I haven't gotten into the blogging world. I don't... Yeah.
Not yet. There's times I had a situation I was going, this would have been... But, yeah, you need the discipline. Like, the same thing. It's like whenever you think about, oh, it'd be great to start a journal, you know. Should I ever want to have, like, a memoir way back when or, you know, in the future... But it's just, it takes discipline. You gotta like, all right, I'm gonna sit down and I'm gonna write something.
And I also don't think it's not necessarily a good thing for everyone to know all of your personal feelings about everything.
Yeah,
well, you know, there are times when I can see that wouldn't be so helpful.
So but you don't do it every day.
Some people do. There's some people who are serious bloggers.
That's outside stuff. I'm always worried about it kind of distracting from the show. Like, to me, the focus is on that, and I'm like, well, if they're putting all this energy into this other stuff, I hope they still have the, you know, A-team writing for the show, that what's on TV. I'm kind of worried about that effect. But
well, thankfully, I mean, it's not something that Jorge and I have to think about. You know, we have our work to do. And
our job is just a little piece of the pie. We have a lot of comfort in the fact that we're only responsible for this part right here.
That's right.
Well, what would you say to people like, gee, my mom, who hears about all of this stuff peripherally and thinks that there is no way she's going to invest in this show because she can't possibly follow on that? I mean, what would be what you would rather, you know, sell, or what would you emphasize is great about Lost?
Well, I think if you get the DVDs of Lost, Lost itself will grab its hooks into you.
Without any of that.
I think that's part of what I think is great about the show, that it gets people. People do get caught up into it. And anything that goes on outside the actual television show itself, I think, is just, you know, like icing or gravy. It's just little extra stuff.
But you can...
And if something's hit up in that stuff, that I think will be pointing it to the actual Lost mythology and that story, it's going to get on. It'll get to the show. It won't exist in its own little vacuum. And, you know, only these people are in the know about it. And everything, I think, will end up... If it's important... In part of the story, it'll make it. So I think the story will stand fine on its own.
But it's just extra goodies.
It
for
is.
The really
it's extra goodies for those who want to go find it.
Well, and I have to say, like, it is pretty cool having an action figure. You know, especially
it's sweet.
Yeah, especially by McFarlane. You know, the quality of the figure is so good, and you know, you're going to be immortalized. It's one of those
the
things.
The fact that he came out to Hawaii to do it, you know, we got pretty excited about, you know.
And it's him introducing himself to us. I was like, oh my gosh.
And it's one of those things where, you know, I own a couple of his Red Sox players because I'm a huge Red Sox fan, you know, and so, but, you know, when you're 80, you're going to look back and say, wow,
that's someone here I am.
Made a little plastic figure of me.
Molded in plastic. But you, Daniel, I mean, a lot of times people try to break the show up into the mysteries and the sci-fi stuff and the characters and personal sides, the shipper stuff. Do you have a preference?
Yeah, I you know, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but you know, my preference is in the interpersonal drama and conflict. I think even initially, the thing that attracted me to the show was its similarity to Lord of the Flies. And you know, you take the idea of, you know, a bunch of people in a secluded area trying to get along and survive. I think there's inherent drama there, and that's what I'm interested in. And the fact that there's a married couple on the island, and those are kind of you know, it puts a microscope on human issues when you have a setting like that, and that's interesting to me.
Well, guys, I've definitely taken too much of your time, especially for such a perfect day when you should be out having fun. So it's been a total trip and a real thrill to spend time with you guys, and I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Our pleasure.
Thanks.
And we'll all be tuning in October 4th for the season premiere.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Luke's Lost Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. In the meantime, please go to the website at lost-television.co.uk. Thank you, and check back soon.
This podcast is a proud member of the Lost Podcasting Network. Get all your favorite Lost podcasts in one feed at lostcasts.blogspot.com.